we hear the story. Today we hear the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They lived in a time called the Pax Romana, or Roman peace. And many call Caesar a savior because he ended by force the seemingly endless cycle of war. In the book, The First Advent in Palestine, author Kelly Nicandea says this: "What made some see Caesar as a savior was kind of a peace that benefited the few while exploiting the many, one that usurped land and harvests from the poor. Perhaps the first advent was God's critique of what the world called peace. It was in this time of peace with oppression that religious leaders like Zechariah had to serve, making sure to walk the line to honor God, but deference to Caesar and to Herod, the so-called king of Jews." Hear the story from Luke 1, verses 5 through 25. In the days of the ruler Herod, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly caste of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. Both were worthy in the sight of God and scrupulously observed all the commandments and observances of our God. They were childless, unable to conceive. They were both advanced in years. Now it was the turn of Zechariah's priestly class to serve. And as he was fulfilling his priestly office before God, it fell to him by lot, according to priestly usage, to enter the sanctuary of our God and offer incense. While the full assembly of people was praying outside at the time of day when the incense was offered, an angel of our God appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was deeply disturbed by seeing this angel and was overcome with fear. The angel said to him, "Don't be frightened, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, whom you shall name John. He will be your joy and delight, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of our God. He must never drink wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And he will bring many of the children of Israel back to their God Most High. He will go before God as a forerunner in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the rebellious to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for our God." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is too advanced in age." And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel, who stands before God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But because you haven't trusted my words, you will be mute, unable to speak until the day these things take place. They'll all come true in due season." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered about his delay in the sanctuary. When he finally came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision inside, but he could only make signs to them and remain mute. Then when his time of priestly service was over, he went home. Sometime later, Elizabeth conceived. She went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "Our God has done this for me. In these days, God has shown favor to us and taken away the disgrace of our having no children." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we've heard the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus. Zechariah is struck mute after his annual service in the temple and spends 9 months in complete silence. On this second weekend of Advent, when we light the candle of peace, it makes sense to reflect on Zechariah and the forced quiet he experienced after the angel informed him that in their old age, he and Elizabeth would have a child. We don't typically spend time looking at these two characters, but it is this couple with whom Mary spends time during her pregnancy being protected and encouraged. So let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Zechariah was a priest in the order of Abijah. As the New Interpreter's Study Bible explains, the overabundance of priests made it necessary to divide their number into orders, with each one serving at the temple on two separate weeks each year. The daily routine called for incense offerings in conjunction with the morning and evening sacrifices. These incense offerings were performed by a priest chosen for this purpose by lot each day. This was an honor to serve God in this manner. So this is where our scripture begins. Zechariah attending to his duty, offering prayers and burning incense. The smoke is a reminder of Yahweh's cloud of fire, which at one time led Moses and the ancestors of the Jewish people through the wilderness. Now, as the priest was doing his duty in the sanctuary, pilgrims stood outside, perhaps in the courtyards, offering prayers of their own. But Zechariah and the other priests who came to Jerusalem to serve would also be asked to attend to the needs of the upper echelons of priests who actually lived in Jerusalem. This was a time fraught with contradictions and suffering, as I shared last week as we began our series. In her book, The First Advent in Palestine, Kelly Nicandeha explains how the Roman Empire perceived itself to be offering the Pax Romana, or Roman peace. Although Rome offered leadership to a unified empire, which included amazing infrastructure to the region, the peace it provided was achieved through oppressing anyone who opposed it, often by violence. The elite and upper class lived quite peaceful lives, but those who worked the land paid over half their income in taxes on top of a tithe or 10% to the temple, leaving barely enough on which to live. As a result, many lived in debt. Nicandeha writes, "This world of peace was actually a world of foreclosures, evicting families from their land, often turning them into tenant farmers on their own property. Economic loss separated families, caused malnutrition in children, and left many women widows and vulnerable." And so when God promised a savior, the peace that he would bring was not at all like the Pax Romana. Instead of great disparity between the rich and the poor, God's peace would be about providing for those in poverty, liberating the oppressed, and turning the ideals of the empire upside down. God's reign offered hope to those who struggled on a daily basis just to survive. The priesthood in Jerusalem and temple system, however, began to look an awful lot like the unbalanced power structure of the Roman Empire in which it resided. The priesthood of the Jewish people began to experience corruption in its ranks. King Herod, Caesar's envoy, interjected himself into temple business and politicized it by appointing priests from other regions and promoting those who aligned with his interests. Furthermore, the upper tier of priests who served inside the temple walls rather than in the countryside, like Zechariah, used the tithes received to provide them with a lifestyle that was beyond simply comfortable. It was excessive. Fancy robes, luxury accommodations, incredible meals, and access to the halls of government would have made the rural priests who came to the temple for their yearly service wonder why they were living lives of poverty while their fellow priests were basking in excess. Zechariah and others like him would have needed other jobs, most likely farming the land in order to make ends meet. As a result, traveling to Jerusalem to serve would have carried with it mixed feelings. It was an honor, certainly, but at the same time, it probably carried some disappointment. Serving the priests beautiful platters of fruit and rich cuts of meat would have disheartened Zechariah, who knew of those in his village who could barely feed their family. Observing the stark differences between the temple priests and those struggling would have caused deep pain and sadness. The positive side of the experience was that it gave Zechariah unique insight. He knew the disparity between the rich and the poor firsthand, and it would have provided a profound understanding of those to whom he ministered. He understood the pain, particularly because he and Elizabeth were not able to have children. Zechariah had experienced deep personal shame at being childless. He intimately knew grief and loss. Like others in the birth narratives of Luke, when the angel Gabriel visits Zechariah in the temple, he is scared and disbelieving. The angel informs Zechariah that Elizabeth will become pregnant, even though they are beyond childbearing years. It seemed most likely a joke. But in his fear, Zechariah couldn't even think logically. It's as if he temporarily forgot that God had delivered a child to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. And he also delivered a child to Hannah and Elkanah when she was barren. God gave their spiritual ancestors miracles, and he would do so again, this time to Elizabeth and Zechariah. We often think that Zechariah was struck mute because of his doubt in the angel's message. But Nicandea is curious. She wonders if it perhaps is so that the older priest will listen to God's voice. Because God was acting in profound ways. And perhaps God wanted Zechariah to understand what God intended through the birth of John by forcing peaceful silence upon the elder priest. Zechariah and Elizabeth's son would announce the coming of the Messiah, who was Jesus. His silence would have prevented him from ministering to his flock because he couldn't teach or offer counsel. So perhaps it was not only Zechariah, but also his community who would be listening and waiting for God to speak or act, because the mouthpiece of God couldn't communicate. We too need this reminder. We often get so wrapped up in our lives or what's going on in the world that we forget to listen to God's voice. Or we're so distracted that we don't really hear what God is trying to communicate. Before I came to faith, I was a retreat center director, and I offered small groups and individuals resources to help them in their spiritual lives. I taught different kinds of prayer practices and spiritual disciplines so that people could find ways to pay attention to God's voice and activity. Centering prayer, walking meditation, Lectio Divina or divine reading, praying with prayer beads, body prayer, praying with music. Those are just a few ways to engage more deeply in one's relationship with God. When it is a regular practice and we make time for silence and reflection, perhaps through journaling, God's voice breaks through the noise of our minds. When we are so busy worrying or trying to fix things, the peace which God offers can lead us to other ways of dealing with life's stressors. God was going to offer peace through his son Jesus that the world did not really understand. And to be honest, we still struggle to understand that peace today. We speak of peace primarily as a lack of war or conflict. But even when we are in a state of war, even when we are not in a state of war, life can feel incredibly disruptive or chaotic. On the other hand, the world and life around us can be crazy, yet we can experience and hold on to an inner peace that provides a type of groundedness which leads us through the chaos without falling apart completely. In the silence, in the peace, God's word, which as John 1 teaches us is Jesus, you may remember John 1:1 reads, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." In the silence, Jesus brings peace into the world, which at the time for God's people was the Roman Empire, but Jesus' peace was very different. Jesus' peace was one in which the poor and humble are lifted up, as Mary sings in her song, the Magnificat. The thrones of the powerful are overturned, and the rich are sent empty away. Jesus' peace was not about material things or conquering nations, but about a peaceable kingdom where the lion lies down with the lamb. Advent is about the unexpected and surprising nature of God. Angels appearing to multiple people, bringing fear but also delivering good news. Babies are born to an old woman and a virgin. An old priest has his voice taken away, his primary tool of ministry. He cannot shout about this amazing gift of parenthood, that a child is to be born. His wife stays in seclusion for most of her pregnancy, and they offer protection for Elizabeth's young cousin Mary, who had become pregnant before marriage. A scandal. A king will be threatened by the birth of this baby, and a young family will flee their homeland and become refugees in order to escape his wrath. So many twists and turns in this story. It's like a soap opera. But for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, we're given a gift of short days and long nights. And I have to tell you, I'm not always a fan, but it gives us time to sit with the promises of God that come to us in ways beyond our comprehension. Like Mary, who pondered these things in her heart as she spent time with Elizabeth, we can ponder the many ways that people in our world, near and far, are longing for peace. We can pay attention to those stories that don't make the front page, or become the leading story on the 6 o'clock news. We can be mindful of those just scraping by, desperate for someone to pay attention, someone who has the ability to lift a voice on their behalf. The many characters of Advent are showing us that God uses the poor and the humble, the unexpected ones of this world, to deliver God's message of peace, because too often the world's leaders are unable to do so. Bishop Desmond Tutu once said of his own country, "There is no peace in South Africa. There is no peace because there is no justice. There can be no real peace and security until there is first justice enjoyed by all inhabitants of this beautiful land." The Bible knows nothing about peace without justice, for that would be crying, "Peace, peace," where there is no peace. God's shalom, peace, involves inevitable righteousness, justice, wholesomeness, fullness of life, participating in decision-making, goodness, laughter, joy, compassion, sharing, and reconciliation. This is the kind of peace which God desires and is delivering to the world through Jesus. May this season of Advent help us not only to see peace, but to cultivate it, so that all God's people will know its power. Amen.